Let's take our Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. I want to take a few minutes this afternoon and what may be one of the most sensitive subjects. It's at least one of the top three. And just look at some biblical principles on what we believe and practice about music. And so, how many believe that's a sensitive subject when you start talking to people? And so, I believe that because there's no thou shalt and thou shalt not when you get through Scripture. There's principles that we look at as we go through Scripture. I believe the top three, and these are not in order of the top three, but the most pushback that there has been as far as in churches as a whole is whenever you start talking about the Bible, okay? And when I say that, I'm talking about using the King James Bible or a version of the Bible. Or if you ask for any type of modesty dress code or start dealing with the subject matter of music. Bring up any of those three in some of the auditorium, okay, I'm turning off. And nobody's going to tell me what to do. And so I approach it sensitively, but also approach it that we can't go down some paths that the world's going down today, and even that some churches are going down today, okay? And so I want to be able to look at the Scriptures and be able to share some things. Does anybody know the first time that singing is mentioned in the Bible? Okay, in Job, the angels sang at creation. Let me fine-tune my question then, because both of you are absolutely correct. What about here on earth and the first time it's mentioned in the Bible? We would have to come back to the book of Exodus. Why don't you turn back there? I'm gonna turn to Exodus first. Instead of Ephesians, we will come right back to Ephesians. But in Exodus chapter number 15, and knowing the chronology of the Bible, it is right after the nation of Israel has crossed over the Red Sea. Boy, wasn't that a miracle? And what God did there, and an older preacher, Dr. Ron Garris, he's in heaven today. He preached a series of messages. He studied it out for about a year and a half to 2 years strictly on the subject matter of the crossing of the Red Sea. And I think you can find it. It might be on sermon audio, but he preached a series of messages, and you'll have to go back and listen to see where he got the title from because it's biblical. But he preached a series of messages on what did the sea see when the sea saw? And preached three messages on that. And on the crossing of the Red Sea. And very, very interesting, very well worth your time to be able to listen to it. But in Exodus chapter 15, they've just come across the Red Sea. And we pick it up in chapter 15, verse number 1. And look at this first song we have recorded for us. It says, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord, he is my song, he is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war, the Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone." Can anybody put this to a tune? Okay, let's read down through. He does say down in verse number 11, "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" Let's keep reading down through here, and I want you to see this. Jump down to verse number 20. So we have the first song that's recorded, and then I want you to see who started singing this song. and Miriam the prophetess. Who was Miriam in the Bible? Do you remember? It was who? Aaron's sister, someone else's sister too? Moses' sister too, okay? And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with the timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, "Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." Isn't that kind of similar to what Moses said? Here's what we're going to sing unto the Lord, okay? Started singing the same song, okay? And so I want to give that to us. I believe there's a lot of characteristics that we could look at the principles of songs when we see what was included, okay, in the message of song that Moses was able to give forth. Of course, we understand that the singing was to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and to magnify God and really as a part of worship to the Lord, okay? Now, I'll say this, worship can be a part, I mean, music can be a part of worship, but not all music is worship to the Lord, okay? We understand that correctly, don't we? Music can be a part of worship to the Lord, but not all music is worship to the Lord. Now, as we take it a step further, the answer that was given in Job as the angels were singing at creation, we understand this, music plays a vital part in our lives. I'll give some personal experience, and I'll say this, there's several different I don't want to say types or styles of music. There's times that I'll sit down personally, and I don't mind listening to Brother Bobby and the men playing and picking on the guitars and banjo, okay? Monday night, they sang two songs down there at that church service, I'll Fly Away, and I can't remember the second one that you all played and sang down there, and we enjoyed it. It ministered to us, encouraged us. But then let me say this. About 30 minutes later in the service, okay, after they got done, there were two guitars, two banjos, and they're picking and playing and singing to the Lord. About 30 minutes later, Ambassador Baptist College. Is anybody familiar with Ambassador Baptist College, okay? Their quartet, I think it was a quartet, it might have been five of them counting the piano, they got up there and sang, okay? A little bit different, strictly piano music. Every note was on key, not to say too many of theirs weren't, okay? A little bit different, a little bit different tempo. Still ministered to our hearts, okay? It did, okay? And so from one extreme, I told another pastor, I said, what's wonderful is we were in the exact same meeting, and literally, I said, that was both extremes of what some people would look at for godly music to be able to minister, okay, to their heart and to their soul, okay? Is one not right with God? Is one right with God? Is one, that's where things start getting into people's hearts and preferences. I want us to come over here because I do believe that music plays a big part. Now turn with me over to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. The Bible does address music and tell us what we should be doing it and the purpose of it. And so I was going with that illustration. There's times I listen to things like that, and some would call it a bluegrass flavor, okay? Some would call another genre of music, maybe the high church choir, okay, that type of music. I can say this. I went to some old-fashioned camp meetings down south. Okay, there's a few here. It's been down to Alabama with us and things like this. Hey, that's wonderful every once in a while, but I don't have a steady diet of that. Okay? And so I listen to several different types of preachers. I'll listen to some that they'll get up here and boy, they'll hoot and holler, and down south they call it hacking. okay? I mean, there'll be some that I listened to a guy and he was preaching and I was sitting on the front row, and it was one of the first trips that I had taken another couple with me over to the Philippines, and this pastor was up there and he was as red as could be in the face, and the veins were popping out on his forehead, and he was into preaching, and it was 95 degrees, and that nurse was sitting on the front row there, and she looked over at me and she said, "Is he okay? I'm ready to get up and help him if he collapses because of health issues, okay?" I mean, that's how he was preaching. I've listened to some, and he thrilled my soul. I've listened to some. My dad was the preacher. Honestly, if he stepped this far while he was speaking behind the pulpit, then he really moved during that service, okay? He'd stand there, listen, this entire time, stand right here and barely ever raise his voice. That thrilled my soul. Because it wasn't the man that I was looking to, okay? I'm looking to the Scriptures. Now, listen, don't get up there, when I'm talking about preaching, but don't get up there and yell at me for an hour and don't ever quote Scripture, okay? And don't get excited and carry on. Give me Scripture. So when we start looking at music, okay, some of y'all get nervous already, okay? Now, listen, I'm for godly, Christ-honoring music. Christ-honoring music and Christ-honoring words, okay? That are going to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, that they're going to encourage me. There's sometimes, listen, I'm not looking to get doctrine from my music. I'm looking for them to encourage me because I'm down in the dumps. Okay? Now, what is music supposed to do for us? Look at Ephesians chapter 5, the context of music. Look back at 15. He said, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because their days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Now, at the end of verse number 18, let's have a little English test. What is that punctuation that's there? It's a semicolon. Everybody have a semicolon there, okay? That means that the next phrases are connected to the previous phrase, okay? So we have a semicolon there. He's just told us to be filled with the Spirit of God. Isn't it interesting in Scripture that the first characteristics he gives of being filled with the Spirit of God is verse number 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Okay? Immediately following being filled with the Spirit, besides not being drunk with wine, okay? Being filled with the Spirit deals with the music that we are putting into our souls. Okay? How many would say that music makes a difference in your life? How many? Listen, and listen, I'm not asking what you're listening to. I'll just be honest with you. I don't think rock and roll is godly music. Okay? I'm going to share some scriptures with us. Listen, I don't need country music that tells me when their dog died and their wife is leaving and they lost their double wide, okay? I mean, I just... it's depressing. You know where most of them got their start anyway? It was in the church house. And then some people say, "Well, I don't believe we ought to be playing music on those stringed instruments." Then get rid of the piano. Okay? Guess what the piano is? A stringed instrument, okay? Exactly. So then they say this, "Well, we don't use them guitars and banjos and stringed instruments like that because that's what was known back in those times at the honky-tonk and everything. And that's what was being played." I said, if you really want to get historical on it, I said, when the circuit riding preachers would travel around, I said, and go from church to church or from camp meeting to camp meeting back during the Civil War and what was in the Union camps and the Confederate camps, guess what? They did not travel with a piano on their back on the horse, okay? They actually traveled with a guitar. And that's where, if you just want to go back and study the history of it, it's not a matter of godly or ungodly. It's a matter of culture. That's how it made its way back into the Appalachian Mountains down there. That's where the hammered dulcimers came in. That's where the banjos came in. They'd sit around a campfire. If you want to get technical about it, where you would find this instrument right here was usually in the bar rooms. And that's where they'd be playing. Listen, we have gone so far, and let me just say this, it's not just with music. We've gone so far in actually demonizing an inanimate object. Okay? We've done it with music. We've done it with instruments. We've done it with firearms. Okay? We've done it with knives. I mean, Cain killed Abel with a rock. Do we outlaw rocks? Okay? I'll just be honest with you. I've got guns sitting in my house, and not a one of them for years have committed any atrocity against mankind. Okay? So listen, as we start looking at things, now, every one of those things I just mentioned, guess what? Can be used in the wrong way. Okay? They can be used in the wrong way. When the Bible gives us the principles, speaking to yourself. So let me say this. The music that we listen to personally, okay, it ought to enhance our walking in the Spirit. Speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making, and musicians love this word, and I love it too, melody. You know what's missing in a lot of modern songs? A melody, okay? That's the natural flow. And that, it, listen, it goes with the beat of our heart. It goes with our breathing in and breathing out. There's not so much on an offbeat that you can't catch up with it. It's making melody. And it didn't just say in the songs, but he said in our hearts to the Lord. Okay? Music ought to, can I say this? It ought to actually go with the flow of us as a person and not against the flow, get us all worked up in the wrong way, governed by emotion. So it ought to be what we take in personally, ought to be enhancing our walking in the Spirit and walking and living for the Lord. So I could pause right there for a second and say, is there anything that you've listened to or that I've listened to in the past week that is not exalting? Now, can we go back some years? And I don't want this to be, I'm getting on the young people of our church. Okay? I had a conversation standing outside here underneath the tent last year. Someone has never set foot back in our church because I made mention of some of these things. You cannot whatsoever tell me that, and I'm going after our adult generation now, that listening to Highway to Hell enhances you walking in the Spirit and your relationship with God. You're not going to convince me of that. Not going to. Well, them words. Can I challenge you to do this? And I'm not going to read them to you. The new, I don't even know what her name is. Cruella, is that what it is? And the new Dalmatian movie that's supposed to be coming out? Why don't you go read the words? I just read them this week. Read the words to the theme song that they're putting out for that movie that's coming out soon, the new Dalmatian movie or whatever it is. Go read the words to it, especially by the end of it when they change her name to, listen, it's not DeVille, and they change the spelling of it, and she's called Devil. Oh, it's just innocent. Go listen to those words. Go, no, don't listen to them. Read those words, okay? What we're listening to, it ought to be causing us to walk in the Spirit, to draw closer to the Lord, okay? Now, that's in our personal lives. Now, let's take it a step further. Turn over to Colossians chapter 3. You say, well, what I listen to is my business. You know, some of the worst things we've ever done is give our kids some AirPods and some headphones and just trust that they're listening to what's godly. Can I say this? Take it for what it's worth. If I walk by and a teenager's going like this, they're not listening to Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. It's not happening. And you tell me they're walking in the Spirit? Not happening. Okay? Look at Colossians 3. You say, this is what I put in myself. Okay, let's get for those that are around us. Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse number 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So we look at Ephesians and it talks about what we are speaking to ourselves in, but we come here to Colossians chapter 3, and the Bible says that we're supposed to be teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You know, I still believe in corporate worship to the Lord, corporate singing. I don't believe there's anything better than a church singing in unison. They're going to be off key. You know, the Bible doesn't one time say get on key in order to sing. Not one time. Now, I'll deal with that in just a second, okay? Practice makes perfect, and I need a lot of practice, okay? How we speak to ourselves, but then listen, it ought to be uplifting to one another. When we come together as the family of God, listen, we're teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So even in our corporate worship, okay, as music can be a part of worship, but not all music is worship, okay? And as we look at this, it ought to be in our souls. And it also ought to be that when we come together, we're admonishing one another with the right type of music. You say, well, is there a definition of that? Read the next verse. I just love the Bible when I read it. And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Do you understand that that word whatsoever includes our music from the previous verse? And, you want to have an English lesson? What is and? It's a conjunction. Do you know what conjunctions do? They conjunct two things, right? That's where I derail on English. And whatsoever. So we just talked about music in verse number 16, and whatsoever, completely engulfed in all of that, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Here's what I asked that person that stood there and said, well, I just believe I can go listen to my rock and roll and it just doesn't matter and I'm fine to do that as a Christian. I said, let me ask you one question. I said, can you, in a clear Holy Ghost conscience, listen to that and do it in the name of the Lord Jesus? I said, that's the litmus test. Guess what? The test is not, do I feel good when I listen to it? That's not the test. The test is not, do I like the artist? You know what they used to be called? It used to be said they're going to minister to us in music. It wasn't that they're going to get up and perform for us. They're going to minister to us. They're going to present this song. They're not ministering to us. They're ministering to the Lord. Okay? But can it be done in the name of the Lord Jesus? Another place said, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. So I'm thinking, okay, can I realistically, hey, listen, there's been some quote unquote Christian music that's come on. You say, well, the words are good. So then here's what I thought. Well, the words are good, but the spiritual songs, okay, so the music being played, I thought, if I'm listening that in my car and someone pulls up next to me, are they going to be saying with the music that they're hearing, well, that must be a good Christian young man or young lady. Oh, that must be the preacher because that's what's on his license plate. Unfortunately, today, they would probably say that. Okay? So I want us to look at biblical principles. You say, Pastor, I thought you were just going to start getting up and naming a bunch of things. I can if you want me to. I can. Now listen, when we start thinking about this music, music is not all moral. Okay? It does affect us one way or another. Okay? It can be depressing or it can be encouraging and uplifting. Okay? Now, as we begin to look at music, here's where, after we get past these biblical principles, here's just some personal lines, okay, that I'm looking at. I don't come out and say that I'm against all contemporary music, okay? And here's why, because I'm very careful with words that I use. If I say that, and then Brother Dan Rawls writes a song tomorrow, you working on one? No, okay. If he writes a song tomorrow, guess what? That's contemporary. Contemporary defines a time period. Am I right, Nate? Make sure. Okay. It defines a time period. So if I say I'm against contemporary music, then anything that's written in my same time period, oh, I have to be against it. You know, at one time, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound was contemporary. It was written in that era of time. Okay? Now, I will say this. I'm against the contemporary Christian movement. Okay? I'm against where we get away from these biblical principles. And you say, what biblical principles? Okay? Number one, I'm against when it comes to feeding the flesh over the spirit. Okay? You say, what do you mean? I don't need a song to minister to me that it's not ministering if I'm not waving. Okay? Well, God didn't show up there. They weren't waving their hand. That's not the symbol of it, okay? So when we start thinking about that, now listen, I'm all for the waving of hands. I loved it. I was watching Maddox over here, and I said, listen, to keep it up. As soon as I said something about Maddox this morning, he turns around to the McManuses behind him, and he's waving like this. I said, keep learning to wave hands in church. It's okay. But can I say this? When we start drawing more attention and the satisfying of the flesh over the spirit, okay? That's, we've crossed a line spiritually. We've crossed a line. I like that song because it makes me feel good. Okay? How about it being ministering to our spirit and to our soul because of what's being sung to us? Okay? Now, we can get into all type of characteristics right here. You can read all kinds of books, and guess what? I don't agree with everything that's all in them. Some people have stands that they take, and listen, I give them the liberty to be able to do that. I dealt with several Christians, and this, don't get hair-lipped and upset when I say this, okay? It's completely up to them. If someone wants to have this, just don't force it on us. I'm thinking, they've taken, and I've got one right here, okay? Can I demonstrate? How many like an object lesson? May I say this? Am I in sin? Okay. I'm not? So, Brother Jordan's coming to look and just make sure, okay? So, can I say this? And I know some, and if that's their personal stand, then no problem. I know some that completely consider it against the Lord to hold a microphone, okay? I'm not making light of that. I know some people personally that have that. And I would have them sing here at the church, and you know the one thing I would not do? I would not hand them a microphone when they came to the platform, okay? Seriously. But here's what I've determined in my life, okay, and for our church. It's not sin, but why not teach someone how to do it? Why not have educated Christians? You don't have to eat a microphone, do you? We get into a presentation and a performance mode. You're singing the wrong way if you need to take that microphone and put it back here and then bring it back in again. It starts getting more about you. Here's where I think some professional group, and I don't like professional singers in this sense, that they get to the point they have to be dressing all flashy. They have to put a performance on while they're up here on stage. For someone to say that emotion does not belong in song, they're wrong, okay? God has made us emotional people, but that emotion should be governed by the Spirit and not the emotions being the preeminent, okay? The emotions ought to be subservient to the Spirit of God, not the Spirit of God subservient to the emotions, okay? So when we get into this mode of singing, there's all these things. Well, I don't sing songs. We have, and can I go back years? And it's been mentioned from this pulpit, okay? I didn't have a problem with it. We have some songs in our songbook that were written, and let's go back years, by Bill and Gloria Gaither, okay? Do you know, I know some people, they will not sing one thing because of how it begins, okay? And it begins on the upbeat instead of the downbeat, okay? Now listen, I'm not ignorant when it comes to these things, okay? But when I look in the scriptures, okay, that's not going against scriptural principles. And I'm not throwing out, hey, listen, he lives. Do you know what actually starts? I on the upbeat, serve on the downbeat. Oh, we got to throw them out and tear them out of the songbook and everything and not sing stuff like that. No, listen, that's where we start getting to the point of nitpicking on some things. You say, Pastor, is that really out there? It sure enough is. Okay? Now, here's where we're at the church. I'm all for godly music. Now, there's lines that we're not crossing as a congregation. I'm not trying to get the screens with the little bouncy balls to be able to help us sing where the words are. You say, Pastor, are you ever going to put the words to a song on a screen? Are you sitting down? We're already doing it. And I'll tell you, the culprit is right back there. And it's Nate. You say, what do you mean? Every person sitting at home live streaming, guess what, has the words on the screen, okay? What I say? It's an inanimate object, okay? Now, here's the thing. Miss, and I don't mind she may be saying this, Miss Mary Bailey asked me when her and Brother Bob came to the church, she said, you going to be putting all the words up there on the screen to be able to sing? Do you remember asking me that? It was similar, not in a condemning way, but it was close. And I said, well, I said, God has provided songbooks for our church. And we're going to use songbooks. Because I didn't know if she wanted them or didn't want them. I was just trying to answer the question. And I said, God's provided songbooks. And we did. We had two churches that actually paid for all the songbooks for us to be able to get started here at Granite State Baptist. And I said, God's provided songbooks. And I said, I believe that's what we're going to use. Now, here's the thing. You say, where have churches gone off? Well, first of all, in a lot of cases, we're actually discouraging corporate singing and worship inside churches. I've walked inside, and I've been in some churches. I didn't have the words there. I don't read music. Okay? And so, but I do know enough when something goes up and something comes down and where there's a break in it and it's not just four lines that are on a screen somewhere, that I know no tune to it, and 95% of the congregation is sitting there saying, I don't know what I'm singing. I don't know that song. I can't follow along with it. That's where the bouncy ball started coming in because people couldn't follow. And so you could follow the bouncy ball. Where have they demoted us to, okay? And so then I've been in some churches, they have a songbook on every chair. But then there is a generation, I won't say younger or older, that they can't see that anymore, okay? So they know the songs, but having them in 8-inch letters up here on the wall sure do help out a little bit. But then you have a songbook to be able to sing along if someone wants the notes and they want where the breaks are and everything. It's an unfamiliar. They have it in their songbook. They had a hybrid system. Can I say this? Whatever works for them. You say, well, Pastor, what about these modern songs? And I know that's where you're all wanting me to get to anyway. Okay? When I start looking at modern songs, I do, in a lot of cases, I do look at where some songs came from. Okay? I want to see, Is the author, that person that wrote the song, are they living a godly life? Okay? Now, in some cases, and if I were to use some examples right here, you'd never sing some songs again if I told you some of the history of some of the ones we have in our songbook right now that we sing. Okay? But when we start looking at that, I do believe in keeping the flow of service. I'm not looking to use contemporary worship songs in our corporate worship, okay? There's been some wonderful songs that have been written, okay? Here's what I'm going to strive for. I'm going to strive for whatsoever we do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. I believe some wonderful modern songs could actually be played and sung a whole lot better if the music was better for it. Okay? And I look at these things and I say, how can we? And this is one of the finest lines that a pastor has to walk. You sing one song, oh, that church is going contemporary. I've had extensive conversations. You know what I come back to? I come back to, are we speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs? Are we singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord? Are we worshiping the Lord together without opening the door to allowing the dominance of the flesh to be able to take over? Okay? And so when we start looking at things, then here's where I'm careful. I'm also careful because if we sing a song correctly and it's played correctly with the right timing, and if you want to know something about timing and trying to pick something out, go talk with Brother Bobby. He's tried to pick some songs out before, some new and modern songs. The rhythm's not there. The melody's not right. Am I correct, Brother Bobby? He has a hard time picking them out to be able to get the melody and to be able to play it. It goes against the natural flow that God's put in our hearts and in our souls. Can I give you my biggest fear? And I've talked to multiple pastors about this. I said, what if we sang some modern songs as a special or something? I said, here's my fear. Someone's going to say, I really like that song. And then before they walk out the door, guess what they're doing? Where'd that come from? Googling it. Pulling up the song. Well, here's the problem. They're probably not singing it on YouTube the way that it was sang in church. Well, then all of a sudden that appeals to the flesh a little bit more. Okay? Well, then all of a sudden we start getting this contemporary Christian music that it's all hooked on feelings. Okay? And we lose the doctrine of it. Now, I don't know what's in your car right now. I don't know. I could have said in your cassette deck. I could have said in your CD player, okay? I don't know what's, it is easier than ever today. I don't know what's on your iPod. I don't know what's on your playlist. I don't know, kids, what you've subscribed to on Spotify. Some adults are saying, Spot a what? Okay? I don't know what's on your playlist. But I will say this, if it's not singing to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, parents, don't take it for granted. Oh, I've raised them right. Just put some earbuds in and it'll be okay. I had a standing rule with my kids. At any time when they had a headphone on, at any time I had full right, not even permission. I had full right to walk up, take one of those earbuds and put it in mine to see what they're listening to. Well, you're just too controlling on your kids. Well, God gave them to me to be able to raise. And so we'll see what the Lord does. Okay? And so what I'm saying is, I'm just laying some things out on this subject matter of music. Now, understand this. When it comes to, and I told you I'd address this, practice makes perfect. I believe we ought to practice more than what we do. Okay? I'm all for giving the Lord the best. Okay? That's why it's been said previously. Hey, if you're getting up to sing, don't just grab something before service and say, hey, I think I'll sing this. Okay, put some practice into it. Isn't our service for the Lord worth it? Isn't He worth it? Okay, but here's where I'm at. I've heard people get up and sing before, and they had every note correct. They had every pause. They had every breath in place, and you could tell that there was no spirit behind it whatsoever. You know what I'd rather have? Now, I'd rather have that with the Spirit of God's touch upon it. But I've been in some services, people got up and said, Boy, I messed that one up. But boy, you could tell they were singing from their heart. You could tell. Hey, there was a young man that was singing, and I would say he had Down syndrome, but he had up syndrome, okay? It wasn't holding him down whatsoever. He couldn't hit one right note. But every service, he'd get up there and he'd stand over here, because down south, every church has to have 3 guitar players up there, okay? And they start them when they're 4 feet high. I mean, they're up there with a full-size guitar and they're playing. And he'd stand up there, and I watch him. I was sitting down here about where the juries are, about the 3rd or 4th row. And he came up there, and I don't even have a wired mic up here. There's one over here. But he grabbed his microphone, because he's up there and he's helping to lead the singing and sing with them. Grabbed his microphone. Grabbed that cord, quarter-inch jack on the end of it, stuck it in his pocket, and stood there and sang for the glory of God. That microphone wasn't plugged into a thing. He didn't hit one right note. But I thought, you know something? That's what I remember that day. I don't remember how perfect everything else was. I sat back. There's a pastor's daughter. If I named her, a lot of you might know who I'm referring to. We walked into a youth meeting one time. I can't say she had every note on key, but she was standing up there. If she was on this platform, she would have been right over here on this front left corner as you're looking at her. She hit every word, and her smile was from ear to ear with every word she sang while she was up there singing. I don't even remember what they sang. You know what that did for me? Boy, it sure blessed my heart. Now, here's what we need to be careful of. I'm all for practice. Give God our best. Hey, listen, let's not just shoot from the hip. First time one of these guys, Southern guys, came up here and I gave them an order of service, they said, "What's that?" I said, "That's by God's grace what we're doing." They said, "We've never seen one before." They didn't organize anything. It's just whatever God tells us to do, that's what we do. They didn't understand. I'm all for organizing. I'm all for practicing. Let's give God our best in the music. Here's what I don't want to do. I don't want to sit back and get critical against somebody. I don't want to sit back and say, "Well, what do you think about that? What do you think about that? Boy, they could have practiced a little bit more, and they probably could have hit them notes over there," says a person who's not even up here singing. And I'm saying, hey, it's all cute when the kids get up here and, boy, they haven't practiced, or they have practiced and they miss a little bit, but you can tell their heart. But all of a sudden when an adult gets up here or a teenager's up here and they're playing and they're singing, we start saying, that's not how they're supposed to be doing it right. And I'm saying, why don't we get back to what God desires of us, and they're doing it with all their heart to be able to serve the Lord and to be able to minister to Him, okay? Now, let me reiterate this. I'm not for the contemporary Christian movement, okay? I'm not for we're going to be governed by our emotions when we walk in here to be able to worship the Lord. All worship must be in line with the Word of God, or it is not worship. So let me say this. There may be times that I don't know the song and something gets sung and you're like, "Oh, that's a contemporary artist that sang that song and produced it." But it was sung correctly to the honor and the glorifying of the Lord, and it was not played with the wrong music, and it was not sung in the wrong way. Hey, listen, I don't need a slide every time. Some of you don't even know what that is, but just because someone does a slide inside of a song doesn't mean they're ungodly. I don't need their breath and hear their breath every time they sing, though, okay? "Have thine own way, Lord." Okay, I just need to illustrate it to you so you know what I'm talking about, okay? And I'm thinking, take a breath, man, before you get up there, okay? Don't spit all over our microphones. I'm just saying, we don't need to get into that sensual acting out while we're up here singing to the glory of God, okay? And so let's keep it Christ-honoring. And by God's grace, guess what? That's where we're going to stay. We're going to keep singing out of our songbook. They're not disappearing, okay? I know people get more worried about what the music is at the church than what the preaching and what the Bible is, okay? And I believe music plays a bigger role than what we give it credit for. I want to encourage you to be thinking, is what you're listening to, is it Christ-honoring? Does it tend to lead you to be walking in the Spirit? Or does it take us the opposite direction? You say, well, where does Beethoven and Mozart and everything come into that? They don't come into it. They're not in my library. And that's not a biblical thing. Okay, I do listen to them. But I'm just saying that's not, even in those, listen, it can lead us to the walking with the Lord and calming our spirit and make sure we're spending some time with Him, okay? Is what we're listening to? Now, there's some oxymorons, and I better quit with this stuff, but because I will just start listing things, okay? But there is no such thing as Christian rap, okay? There's no such thing as that, okay? There's no such thing as Christian rock. It's not happening. I'm not going to promote it to our teenagers. That we're not going to be around that, okay? I'm not looking for a rock band to be put up on the platform, okay? And but at the same time, let me say this. Someone asked me this question one time. They asked me very point blank. They said, do you believe drums are biblically wrong? I said, I can't go to Scripture and say that. It's an inanimate object. You know, the same people that won't listen to something with the drums in, they love the marching band that goes down through it, Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Do you know what keeps the rhythm all the way down through there? It's the drums. Now, listen, I've walked in churches, and I'm just closing with this. I'm just giving opinion now. I'm done preaching from the Scriptures, okay? I've walked in churches where it was so loud, they had to have their plexiglass, okay, to be able to guard the drum sound coming out of there. It's not meant, let me say this, it's not meant to be the primary instrument when it's being played, okay? That's not number one instrument. Do you know why, and I'll continue to have it this way, Brother Bobby's guitar does not overtake the piano. That's not the primary instrument that we have. Primary instruments are piano, okay? Supplemental. I've been in churches, they have 100-piece orchestras. Guess what they have in there? They're keeping in with the orchestra. It's not overpowering. It's not number one in front of the piano and everything. I've seen all that. It's done in a very Christ-honoring way, okay? And so have I stirred up enough this afternoon? Anything else you want stirred up? We're going to keep it Christ-honoring. Number one principle. Number one principle. And whatsoever ye do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving glory to Him. That includes our music. That includes it, okay? So don't get going the wrong direction on it. Adults, young people, let's be watching it. Can I give you the whole history lesson too? I could. Go back and study Lucifer, okay? I wonder if there's a reason there was singing at creation. Guess who led the singing as that archangel? He was the musical angel. I wonder if at one time he even sang the praises of God and led the singing at creation. Okay? That's speculation. I'm reading between the lines. Okay? It's a reason it can subtly get in and it can start destroying some lives. Well, I just don't feel good when I go to church anymore. Well, why? The preaching's still the same. The singing's still the same. Maybe you've changed something. There's nothing greater than when we get up together as a church family and sing How Great Thou Art. Think about that. Nothing greater than singing about the blood of Christ and the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, it's wonderful. Music affects us, okay? Let's keep it Christ-honoring and not critical, okay? You say, why are you bringing this up? I'm just going through some Sunday afternoons about some things where we're still at. Does anybody remember that? I know it's been a few weeks. This was on the agenda, so if you got anything in your heart and mind, blame it on the Lord from about 6 months ago, okay? And but that's where we're at with it. We're not getting into all this stuff. We're going to stay where the Lord wants us to stay, okay?